All right, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Aleph, six lines down. The Gemara says, Meitiv Rav Yehuda bar Avin. Yehuda bar Avin has a question. We're still in the sugya of the machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Mishum Levi Sabo Ein L'Shechita L'Basof. That Shechita is a point in time, not a process. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh L'Shechita Mitchilat Sof. Shechita exists over a time period. It's a process. It doesn't happen at any single moment. So here the Gemara is challenging this from a question of Rav Yehuda bar Avin. Now we're talking about here a Korban HaPesach, and if we remember, we've learned this before, that Korban HaPesach Bizmano is a Korban HaPesach. Shelo Bizmano becomes a Shlamim. There's also an Isur that applies to Korban HaPesach, which Shelo Tishchad HaChametz Dam Zivchi, that one may not Shech to Korban HaPesach when they're in possession of a Chametz. That's not only true of the Korban HaPesach, it's true of any Korban that you bring during the Pesach period, as long as it's a kosher Korban. So here we're talking about a case, B'moed. Talking about on Chol HaMoed. For instance, this individual lost his Korban HaPesach on Erev HaPesach. He brought a placement in, and then he finds it on Chol HaMoed. So he comes to bring that Pesach B'Chol HaMoed. If he brings it B'moed Lishmo, if he brings it L'Shem Pesach, then he's Patur. He's Patur because if he brings a Korban HaPesach, L'Shem Pesach on Chol HaMoed, that's a Korban Pasul, because L'Shem Pesach is only applicable on Erev HaPesach. So if he does it L'Shem Pesach, it's Pasul. If it's Pasul, he's Patur from the Isur of Lo Tishkar Tach Chametz Dam Zivchi. On the other hand, Shelo Lishmo, if he does the Korban HaPesach Shelo Lishmo, what's the din of a Korban HaPesach Shelo Lishmo? It turns into a Shlamim. A shlamim is a kosher korban. It's a kosher korban, then chayav, he's in violation of bringing a korban while he has chametz in his session. Lo tishchet chametz al dam zivchi, and it'll be in violation of that isur. Vehavinan bo. On that we ask, taima de shlo lishmo. That's because he actively said that he was doing shlo lishmo. Hastama patur. That means if he said absolutely nothing, the stam, what we assume to be the default thought process here, is that this is a shechita l'shem Pesach. Ve'amai. Why would you ever think that the stam machshava, the default machshava over here is l'shem Pesach? Ve'amai patur. Pesach v'shari motu mashamash lamimu. Why would you ever think that it's patur when it comes to the rest of the year, when we say stam Pesach, the rest of the year is automatically assumed to be a shlamim? Because it's not Pesach anymore. So the default status of a korban Pesach any other time of the year is a shlamim. So why should he be patur over here if he does absolutely nothing? If he thinks nothing, why should he be patur? Why do we assume it's lishmo? Why don't we assume what it should be every other time of the year, which is that it turns into a shlamim, it's a kosher korban? Shmamina. And this you would conclude, Pesach v'shar yimot ha'shana b'yakira. Pesach, any other time of the year, requires you to remove the shem Pesach from the korban. It's not automatically a shlamim. It's a korban ha'Pesach by default. You have to remove that shem Pesach from it in order to make it into a shlamim. Ve'am rabchia bargamdo nizruka mipi ha'chabura. That this, what I'm saying, was thrown out. B'nai yeshiva were talking, and amongst us, when we were talking, this is the conclusion that we came to. Why over here do you need a kira of the shem Pesach? And that's because amru hacho mayaskinan kagon shayu balim tamei meitim. They were tamei meit on Pesach Rishon. Dinidachin the Pesach Sheni. Therefore, they were pushed off the Pesach Sheni. The mistoma lishmo koi. The reason that this Korban HaPesach is omed lishmo is because he still has the ability to utilize it. He's going to utilize it on Pesach Sheni. So even though it's Chol HaMoed and it's past the Zman of Pesach, so you would assume that the stam, the default machshava, should be lishlamim. Nevertheless, this is a default for Korban HaPesach because he's planning on using it for Pesach Sheni. He has a good reason to have it be default to be stam Korban Pesach. And that's why this Mishnah, this case that we're talking about here, the default machshava is it's lishmo, the Shem Pesach. Therefore, in order for it to be a kosher korban, he has to actively remove the Shem Pesach and make it into a shlamim. That's not true the rest of the year. The rest of the year, that's not the case, because there's no reason for him to think it's going to be a Pesach. The default machshava the rest of the year would be a shlamim. So in our case, the default machshava is that it's a Pesach because he could use it for Pesach Sheni. And therefore, if he does not have a machshava to be okeret, it's a posel korban, it would not be chayav for the problem of chametz and the korban ha-pesach. On the other hand, when it comes to a korban ha-pesach the rest of the year, then it automatically, the default will be a shlamim. Therefore, v'hayhu d'bayi akira. That's why that requires akira. Hacher lo bayi akira. But if any other situation that you're in, you would not be required to remove the shem pesach from it, because the default would be that it is lishlamim. So iamart bishlama yesh lishchita mitchilat sof. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that shchita is a process, if sele mitchilat shchita, as soon as you start to do the shchita and you do it stam, it's a posel shchita, because at this point the korban is reserved for pesach sheni. That means stama is lishmo. Stam lishmo is for a korban of Pesach, and you weren't okir the shame Pesach from it. It's a korban pasul. Ella, yamart, ein alishchita lebesof. If you hold like Reish Lakish, that it's a point in time that it happens at that moment that start to do the shchita in it, idchile mi Pesach. It's no longer re'uyah to be brought on Pesach Sheni, because you're shechting it right now. So you can't have in mind that he's going to bring on a Pesach Sheni anymore, because it's no longer re'uyah to be brought on Pesach Sheni. He's shechting it at the moment right now. That means he's removed. It's as if he's okir the shame of Pesach Sheni from it, and it's as if the default now moves from being default for Pesach to default for Shlamim. Idach yishachit, Shlamim kashachit. When he finishes off the process of Shchita, then he's being shochet a Shlamim, because the default now is that it will be a Shlamim and not a Korban a Pesach. So why should it be that it's problematic? It should be a kosher Korban, it should be chayav for having chametz along with the Korban. True, it itself cannot be brought for the Pesach Sheni, but nevertheless, you could sell the animal, and its money could be used to purchase a Korban HaPesach for Pesach Sheni. What are you going to say now? In order to sell Kodoshim, to redeem them, in order to buy something else with them, you need to have them be assessed. They have to stand up in front of an assessment board, and the assessment board goes ahead and tells you what the value is, and that's the exchange value. But that assumes Hamada, that they're able to stand up. This animal is no longer able to stand up, because you just started the Shechita process. That's not. It's not true, because we have a Mishnah. Shachat Bashnaim, Oroshnaim, Yerushochet, of two simanim. Now, truthfully, that's mentioned here as a Mishnah, as Tosafot points out, there is no such Mishnah in Shas. Diok, out of a Mishnah somewhere else in Shas, so the Gemara associates it with the Mishnah, but it's not literally a Mishnah anywhere in Shas. So, v'dayin hi mifarkeset. After the Shechita, it's still moving around, it's flopping around. Harihi kechaya d'chod v'raya. It's as if it's alive, and if it's alive, you could do amod v'arocha. So, over here too, when you began the process of the Shechita, it's still alive enough in order for you to redeem the animal and use those monies to purchase a korban Pesach for Pesach Sheni. If that's the case, then it's not stama flipped over to be a shlepim. It remains stama lepesach. And that's why, even according to Reish Lakish, it still will be a problem. We jump into a new sugya. And that is, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hashochet b'shnayim u'shlosha mikamot shchitato kishera. Someone who does a shchita in two or three locations, it is a good shchita. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when they said this in front of Shmuel, Amar lei, be'inan shchita mifurat. Says you need a clear and cut shchita that you can see, and it goes through. Veleka, you don't have that here. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish also says that you need this clear-cut shchita where you see it open up. How do you know that shchita has to be clear, a clean cut that breaks apart? Their tongues are like the sharp arrows. Mirmadi bear, they speak deceitfully. It's echad bepev, echad belev. The pasuk continues, b'fiv shalom et reili daber, b'kibo yasim arbo. He speaks one way, and he traps, and he's really trying to trap his friend. So over here you see that it has to be chet shachut. As Rashi points out, what does it mean? It's got a shchita like an arrow. An arrow cuts in one location, not in multiple locations. So the way Rashi learned multiple leveled machloket over here, first of all, you have Rashi. Rashi says, what is it? A shochet b'shnayim u'shlosha mekamot? Rashi takes that literally. He cut in three different locations along the kaneh. Nevertheless, it's not considered a shchita mifurat, even though he has, in one of the cuts, he has a rov. Even though in one of the cuts he made through, it's a rov, shchita, the other cuts prevent it from being a kosher shchita over here. And you can see that in Tosvot, because if you have a rov in one place, the other cut prevent it from being a shchita mifurat, from it being mirvar rabach, from the kaneh opening up. Since it prevents the kaneh from opening up, even though you have a rove in a single location, it still will not be a good shchita. That's the way Rashi learns that. We're talking about two or three separate locations that you cut in. Locations could even be a rove, but since the other locations are cut above and below it, causes it so that the beta shchita is not mirvach rovach. So that's the position of Rashi. If you look in Tosafot, it's about towards the two-thirds of the way down in Tosafot, the Shochet B'Shnayim U'Gimel Mekamot. He brings down U'B'Shilt Ot Rav Achai. The Shilt Ot Rav Achai says Mefarish Beto Gimel Mekamot Gon Shekol Otan Mekamot Behekev Shel Siman. The Shilt Tod says no, that it's two or three cuts along the same siman. I mean that you're around, take one tabat in the kaneh, cut it in two or three locations. That kaneh itself you cut in two or three locations. You reach the rov by cutting it in multiple locations. That's one pshat. Oben akol yesh rov. And between the two or three cuts, you end up with a rov. Then va'od perish b'shilto. The shilto goes one step further. Says that's one possibility of two or three places. The next possibility is afilu chatach miuta kaneh l'mala l'tzad or. Chazar v'shachat miuto l'mata l'tzad acher. Zesh lo keneged zeh. Dekshera. Dekev and deben akol yesh rov. So the next position that he takes is that you cut the kaneh in multiple locations. You cut the kaneh in one location, then you go down, a little further down the kaneh, and cut again. from the other side. And between all of them, you have cut the rove of the circumference of the kaneh. But not again, in this first pshat of shiltot, you're cutting on a single tabat. The rove of circumference that you cut is over a single tabat of the kaneh, of the windpipe. On the other hand, in the second pshat, he says, even if you're cutting on multiple tabaot, but the fact is that if you cut in different locations on different tabaot, overall, together, they will add up to the rove circumference being cut. That's one. And then you have Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel offers another pshat, which is Perish Beit Ugimu Mekomot, Kugon Rava Kaneh Lamala, Raveshet Lamato. That he cut the kaneh from above, and then he went below. Below doesn't mean underneath, but lower down on the neck. He cut the kaneh up top, and then he slides the knife down, and then he cuts the veshet lower down. So your cut of the two simanim are not parallel. They don't go through one shot all the way through. It's one, and then you move down, and then you do the veshet. So that's not a shechita mifurat. So that's why ulefeirusholo mishkachat shlosha mikomot. The problem with Rabbeinu Chananel, you only have two simanim. So when you talk bet to shlosha mikomot, doesn't make so much sense because he says one place the kaneh and then one place the veshet. Where's the third makom? But at least according to all of these, those are the definition of bet to shlosha mikomot. Again, Rashi says that you cut in three different locations along the kaneh. Even so, the problem that you have, it's not a shechita mifurat, even if you have a rove in one of those cuts, because the other cuts prevent the beit shechita from opening up. That's Rashi. The Shi'ultot gives two explanations of the rove. Both times he says it's the rove of the circumference of the kaneh. In the first shot, he says you cut on a single kaneh, you say on a single tabat of the kaneh, in a single location, you cut on the side and the side and then the top. You get a rove of the circumference, but even though there are three separate cuts along this piece of the kaneh, that's also not a shechita mufurat, again, because the tabat doesn't open up, because you didn't cut straight through, cut in three locations. Second pshat the shilto brings is that you cut this rove of the circumference, but on three different tabaot. So since on three different tabaot, of course, that's not a shechita mufurat, because you don't have a clean cut through. And then we have the Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that you cut the kaneh, and then in a different location, you cut the veshet. So again, you have a rove of both simanim. The problem is that you don't have a cut that's mifurat. You don't see a straight cut through the kaneh and the esophagus, the windpipe and the esophagus. That's the pshat we have here. Four different pshatim as bet and gimel mekomotar. And then on that, you have to explain why it's not called a shechita mifurat. The biggest chiddush, of course, is Rashi, where Tosfot also reiterates this, that even though you have a shechita of rove in one of the locations, it will not be a good shechita because the beit shechita does not open up because of the other two cuts. The other two cuts prevent the beit shechita from opening up. Obviously, right. If it's the first one, then there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, then it was Mirvach Ravach, and the Shechita was done already at that point in time. Correct. So, Meitiv Rabbi Elazar, Bet Ochazin B'Sakin B'Shochatin. You have two people holding onto a knife, and they're Shochet. Afilu Echad Amala V'Echad Amato Shechitato K'Sheira. So that Shechita is a good Shechita. Amai? Why is that the case? Val Leka Shechita Mifurat. Over here, we have no clear cut through. We don't have a Shechita Mifurat. So the assumption over here is that we're talking about two people cutting with two different knives. Each one of them is cutting with their own knife. And now you get to a rove. According to Rashi, each one of them, one of the two of them got to a rove. Or according to the other pshatim, that between the two of them, they reached a rove. So that our assumption here is, wait, why should that be an okay shechita? If you require shechita mifurat, when two people cut with two separate knives, you're not going to get a shechita mifurat. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. Mishnah tenu b'sakin achad v'shnei bnei adam. The Mishnah is not in a case where it's one knife and two people working that one knife. So Amalei Rabbi Avo yehochi hainu detoni olo. So then on that, we say about our Mishnah, ein choshishim shem yitrifu zel zeh. We don't worry that either one of them made it into a treifa. If you're talking about two people with two separate knives, ushnei bnei adam shapir, I understand it. Ma'u detema, what do I have thought? Lichosh dilma samche adodi. Each one relies on the other. Diffusion of responsibility. Each one will say the other one got and did the proper shechita, therefore I don't have to do a proper shechita. Again, according to Rashi, that means that each one of them relies on the other to do a rove themselves. According to the other deot, it means that between the two of them, they assume they got to a rove. So he didn't continue to cut because he thought the other guy cut enough. So between the two of them, they have a rove. Each one of them will not make a rove, or together they will not make a rove. Kamash Malon, then choshishim, we're not choshish for that. Eliyah Mart B'Sakin Achatu Shnei Bnei Adam, if you say that it's one knife and two people pulling a knife, then what are you worried about over here? We're not worried that each one of them will make it into a treifa. We know what we're worried about. Shemi Idrisu Zelzeh. We're worried about between the two of them are going to put pressure on the knife as they move it back and forth, and it'll press down instead of being malicha mevi. The chashash is not a chashash of treifa, it's a chashash of drasa. So there, I might say, me bayale, it should have written a different chashash. So I'm Rabbi Avin, ain't ochanami, tnei, ain't choshashin. Exactly what you do. Amend the statement to read, ain't choshashin, shemi Idrisu Zelzeh. that we don't worry about the fact that between the two of them, they're going to press down on the neck and they're going to cause a problem in the shechita. Meiti Rabbi Yavin. Shachat et haveshet lemato. Veta kaneh lemalo. He shechted the veshet lower down on the neck, and then he shechted the kaneh higher up. Oh, et haveshet lemalo, or he shechted the savkis higher up. Veta kaneh lemato. The windpipe lower down. Shechita tok sheira. That's a good shechita. Well, this is exactly against what we just said before. If you need a shechita mifurat, this is a classic case of not a shechita mifurat. Each siman is cut in a different location. If they're cut in different locations, you're not going to end up with a shechita mifurat because you don't have any clear cut going through. So why should it work over here? So my v'alek shechita mifurat, who motiv love human farikla, he asked the question, he also gave the answer. B'shechita suyab kukumus. It was a shechita that's made like a quill. Now, like the tip of the quill. The tip of the quill, you slice it off on an angle in order to make it sharp and to write with it and to absorb the ink. So you slice the bottom of the quill on an angle. So to over here, the shechita, when we say lamalo lamato, means that he did it on an angle. The shechita was in an angle. So in terms of looking at the neck, each one of the simanim was cut at a different location. But between the two of them, you still have a continuous cut because of the angle. You did it on an angle, and therefore there's a single cut that goes through both of them. Even though if you're looking on it face on, one of them is cut higher and one of them is cut lower. So that's how we get to a shechita mifurat in that case. How Torah? There was this ox, the ishchad b'shnayim u'shlosha mikomot, v'shechted in two or three locations. Al Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, shakel mishufrei l'shufrei. He took from the best of the meat and he ate it. He had no problem eating it. So Amarle Rabbi Zeiru. So the way Rashi reads this is Lamadenu Rabenu Mishnatenu b'shnei sakim u'bnei adam. You just taught us now that the way to understand our Mishnah when we're talking about two people shechting an animal, we're not talking about two people on one knife like we had learned before according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, but rather the situation is two people with two different knives. Two people with two different knives, then they're going to cut in multiple places, and the Mishnah says shechita tok sheira. So you see that it's a good shechita. So what we learned from you is that this is a good shechita, and the way to explain our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yirmiyah, but rather that it's talking about multiple people cutting in multiple locations. That's one way to read it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, if you look at the Tosafot, Maten Rabbeinu, he says, Mashu Shekin Halacha, that is the Halacha. Ubal Halachot Gadolot Garis, the Baal Halachot had a Girsa, Matan Rabbeinu Mishnatenu Besakina Chad, Ubet Bnei Adam. Not like our Girsa, which says, talking about two people and two different knives. Didn't you teach us in the past that we're talking about a case of one Sakin and two people, which would imply that if it was two people and cut in multiple places, it would not be a kosher shechita. Mikom Akom, Kevin Delo Chash Ledvarav. Even though Rabbi Zeira challenged him, but the fact that he ate anyway shows us that the halacha is that by shnayim and shlosha mekamot, it's okay. That is a good shechita, even though it's not a shechita mifurat. Okay, next case. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Echlid et hasakin ben siman nesiman. If he pushes the knife in between the two simanim, upasko, and then he shechts the siman, psula. It doesn't work, because that's one of the problems of halacha l'moshe misinai in shechita. You can't do achlada. You can't put the knife in, insert the knife into the simanim. Tachat ha'or k'shira. On the other hand, if you go under the skin, you're fine. Meaning that if you're under the skin, but before the simanim, then that's fine. That's not called achlada. Achlada is only when you insert it underneath the simanim or between the simanim. But if you insert it under the skin, but you're still above the simanim, that's not called achlada. My kamashman, what are you teaching us? Tanina. It's a straightforward Mishnah, which is, O shechlid et ha'sakin tachat ha'sheni. If he puts the sakin underneath the second siman, upasko, and cuts it. Rabbi Yishva v'omer nevela. Rabbi Kiva v'omer treifa. Question of bad shechita is it? Is it a nevela or a treifa? But everybody agrees that's problematic. What are you teaching us here? Mar says, Im matanita, and had it just been our Mishnah, v'amina animilim melamata lemalo. When he did the achlada over here, he went under the second siman. Meaning that he first cut the kaneh, then he took the knife out and went underneath the second siman and then cut upward. He cuts from the bottom up, meaning bottom up from behind the siman upwards. So milamata lamala, doloka abid derech shechita. The problem there is that he's not doing it in the normal direction of the shechita. Direction of shechita normally comes from the front of the neck to the back. Over here, when he did the achlada and went behind the esophagus and cut towards the front of the neck, he's going the opposite direction of a normal shechita. Maybe that's why there's a problem in the Mishnah. Aval milamala lamato. Maybe if he inserted the knife between the two simanim, maybe that would be just fine because he would be going from the front of the neck to the back of the neck. Let's say that that's a totally fine shechita and that won't be a problem of hachlada. Again, he doesn't shech the kaneh. He goes in between them, shechs the esophagus from the front of the neck to the back, comes back up and then cuts the kaneh. So in that case, maybe that should be a fine shechita. Be a fine shechita because he inserted the knife in, did it in the direction of the shechita. That's not what was addressed by the case of the Mishnah. Kamash Malon, that's what he came to teach us. Rav Yehuda Marav came to teach us that even if you're going the direction that the shechita should be going, if you do achlada, if you insert the knife in, it's a posel shechita. Then the next statement, tacha ta'or, if you insert it underneath the skin, and then you shecht in the direction of a normal shechita, There we said it was Kshera. That was true of Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. On the other hand, Bei Rav, the Beit Medrash of Rav Amar Tachad or Eni Yoda. I don't know what the halacha is. We have a suffix when it comes to this situation. Ibayelo, the Bei Rav. According to Bei Rav, the Amar Tachad or Eni Yoda, they don't know when you insert it under the skin, whether that's called Hachlada or not. Again, it's not part of the Shechita. You don't have to cut through the skin to do Shechita. So maybe it's not classified as being Hachlada. On the other hand, in order to get to the Simanim, normally you would cut through the skin. Since that is part of the goof of the behemah, when you insert it underneath, maybe that's called hachladat. That's what they're unsure about. But then they say, okay, we'll give it to you. You don't know about that. But what about a case of tachat matlit? What happens if you have a handkerchief wrapped around the neck of the animal and then you insert the knife? So is that called hachladat? Maybe they call it, they have a suffix about the hachladat because it's the or, which is still a part of the behemah. But when it comes to something that's external, to exogenous to the behemah, maybe that wouldn't be called hachladat. Tachat atzemer mitzubach. Or maybe shechted under the twisted wool of the sheep. Again, it's attached to his body, but it's not a really a part of the area that needs to be nishchat. Mau. In all these cases, we said teku. It's a teku, we don't know. And as Rashi points out, when we have a teku like this, be surah, it's suffik isura l'chumra. And therefore, we're going to go to chumra in all these cases and assume that it is a problem of hachlata. Now, Baira Papa. Papa asks a question here. Huge machlok between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, how to read this Gemara and the implications of this Gemara. And it actually is a big chakira in Rov, which is Baira Papa. Yechlid b'miut simanim mahu. If he did hachlada on a miut of the simanim, what is the din? Mar leaves it as a teku. Rashi again points out, we go to chumra. Because in this case, we're talking about something that we don't know the answer to. If we don't know the answer to it, then we go to chumra. When did he do the miut simanim? When did he do the Hachlada and the Miyut Simanim? And then Rashi over here also raises the prospect that this applies to other things, including what we learned in the first parak about Hagrama, going out of the location of Shechita. For instance, we have all those cases where he was Shachat Shlish. He did a Shlish within the location of Shechita. He went out for a Shlish and then came back in for a Shlish. Or the opposite way around. He was outside the Makom of Shechita, came in for the middle third, and then went out for the last third. Or he did two-thirds in and then one-third out, or one-third in and then two-thirds out. All of those cases that we have early in the Masechta, what's the din in those cases? Rashi says from our Gemara over here, I'll tell you what the din is. The din is, they're all psula. We all go to Chumrah in all of those instances, Avdin and the Chumrah, because we have a suffix in all those cases. We have a difference in opinions. Over here we see that the Gemara is uncertain as to what to do in this case when you have the Achlada that is done on the Miut. Rashi believes over here the Achlada is done on the last miut. Two-thirds of the robe was done promptly. And then what we're talking about here is the miut acharon. We're talking about the last minority that he does Achlada. Because Rashi says it's obvious if he did Achlada on the first third. If he did Achlada on the first third, then he never had a kosher shechita. And therefore it's problematic from the start. There's nothing. You don't even get off the ground. And that's psula for sure. The only question they have is if it's in the last third. Since we don't know, it's the chumrah. And then we'll go back and look in all those cases of Hagrama and say the exact same thing. They're all psula because we'll go avdin and the chumrah. So that's why, and as Rashi says at the end here, of a miut bacha ben kane ben veshet miut akama the veshet mitarfa. All those miutim cause a trefa right away, and therefore if you cut and you make a mistake or do shi'iyah on those locations, they're all going to be problematic. That is Rashi's pshat. The Rabbeinu Tam jumps on Rashi and says, "What are you talking about? I don't understand. If you did a rove of the siman, perfectly fine, and then you do a chlada for the last miut of it, who cares? Who cares if you do a chlada? You have a kosher shechita all the way through. Same thing with hagrama. Hagrama, you cut through 2/3, and then the last third you disappear. But what does it make a difference? Why does it matter that the last third you were out of bounds? Because you did a shechita that was fine for the first 2/3. So now, maybe you could argue, and this is what Tosa says, maybe you can differentiate between hagrama and here. By hagrama, when you do the last third outside of the makom shechita, it's as if you're cutting its leg. You have nothing to do with the shechita. On the other hand, over here, when we're talking about the hachlada, you're still doing it in the makom shechita. You're in a place that would have been a kosher shechita, and now you're messing it up, even though it's in the miut acharon. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam argues across the board with Rashi, and he says all these cases are arguing, and the question is about the miut harishon. And the miut acharon, everybody agrees it's fine. It's all about the miut rishon. The machloka between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is obvious here. It's about how you view rov. When we say rubo kukulo, what is the din? When we say rubo kukulo, there are two ways to take, or two perspectives on that. Rubo kukulo, you can mean that when I do the rov, the shechita is over. I've done the rov. It's as if I did kulo. And everything after that is meaningless because I've accomplished what you've asked me to accomplish. Rubo kukulo means that the kol is now done once I reach the rov, and everything I do afterwards is meaningless. The other possibility is rubo kukulo is If you stop here, I will view it as if you did the whole thing. But if you continue, there's still value when you do. What we want you to do is the kulo. Happens to be that if you did the rove, that's sufficient to be considered kulo, but not that whatever you do afterwards is meaningless. It's still part of it. If you really did kulo, it would be much better. We just give you the break that if you only got up the rove, that it's also considered kulo. What's the nafka mina between those two? The last miut. Is the last miut significant or not? If you say that rubo kukulo means when I hit the point of rove, it's over. Everything I do after that is meaningless. Then the last miut, whatever I do in the last miut, makes no difference. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Anytime you get to the last miut, the shechita is over. So it doesn't matter if I did hagrama then. It doesn't matter if I did achlado then. It doesn't matter what I do in that last miut. The shechita is over. Shechita is over. Rubo kukulo means when I hit the rove point, I'm done with the shechita. You can't mess it up after that. On the other hand, Rashi says no. In that last miut, you can clearly mess it up. If you stop then, you would have been fine. But when you continue and you finish off kulo bipsul, and you finish off that last miut bipsul, you actually detracted from what it was. Had you stopped at the point of rove, you would have been fine. But the fact that you continued and messed it up the last miut means now you've ruined what would have otherwise been good. And that's what Rashi holds. Therefore, Rashi holds all the questions here about the last miut. All the questions that we're raising in our Gemara here are about the last miut. And therefore, Rashi goes back to the first parak and says, all those questions that we had about our grandma, we're going to pass on the chumrah. And we're going to say they're all pasul because they all deal with the miut of the shechita. And the miut is still relevant. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam says miut is never relevant. Once you hit rove, the shechita is over. If shechita is over, then it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're cutting legs, you're cutting arms. We don't matter what you do afterwards. Therefore, all the suffix is in the first miut. That anytime these questions are all relating to the first miut, if you did it, but miut rishon, then you finished off the rest, the rove, properly. And that's where all these questions are raised, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. We have a similar question when we say, for instance, by Avelut, when we say that Miksat Hayom Kekulo. When we say at the end of Avelut, the last day, it's Miksat Hayom Kekulo, what does that mean? Does that mean that once I've done Avelut for the first part of the day, it's over? The Avelut for that day is over. Whatever I do after that is meaningless. I mean, if I continue to be an Avel the rest of the day and act like an Avel, it doesn't matter. It's meaningless. It's not necessary, and it's actually extraneous. It was not needed at all. You're not an Avel. You're no longer an Avel after that point in time. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is when I say Miksat Hayom Kekulo, that's a dispensation. That says that if you do Miksat Hayom, then it is Kekulo. But if you continue to be an Avel that day, you're also an Avel. You're allowed to keep the whole day. We just have a dispensation that you're allowed to take it off early. We have the same type of Chakira that you can say in the all these ideas. Whenever we say that a portion is like the whole, what does that mean? Does that mean that the portion then becomes the whole and everything else is meaningless? Or does it just mean if you stop then, the portion will act like the whole? But if you continue, the whole is still meaningful. And so that's made the question, the main machloket here between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Important Tosfot and Rashi to read through inside. I would recommend reading them inside, but I just wanted to give you the highlights from the outside about the machloket here between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Hashochet bet rashim ke'achad. Someone who shechs two heads in one shot. Shechitato k'shera. No problem. Shnayim ochzim b'sakin. Two people holding a knife. Shochatin. Afilu echad amal v'echad amat. Even one above, one below. Shechitato k'shera. Again, the shechita is fine. Heiti zet arosh bevat achat. In one, the knife, he's able to take off the whole head. If he pops it off in one shot, it's psula, because that's problem of a darza, that he pressed down on the knife, popped it off. Alright, so heiti zet arosh bevat achat psula. If he pops the head off one shot, it's psula, because we assume that he did darza, that he pressed down on it to move it out. On the other hand, if he's molech imevi, he's going back and forth, and he pops the head off in one shot, then, if the knife is sufficiently long, im yesh b'sakin melod tzavar, sheira, if the knife is a neck length worth of length, then it's fine. Now, when we say a neck length's worth, I mean two neck lengths worth, because the first neck length is where the knife is placed on the neck, and then beyond that, you need another neck length, so that when you pull the knife, it actually cuts through the whole head. And since you have that length of a knife, that would be okay if you pull it and it goes down. It sinks while you're pulling it because there's enough space on the knife to assume that you did it with a kosher shechita. Same is true. It was pulling it and he was able to cut two heads in one shot. If the knife has, again, one neck length's worth, it's kshira. One neck length's worth means one neck length's worth beyond the two necks that are there. That really means that this knife has three neck length's worth. Two for the actual heads that are there on the knife, and one beyond it. So as he pulls the knife across, that can sink through and then cut the neck off. Whole head came off in a pull in one direction. Then it's only kasher if there's a neck length's worth of knife beyond the neck. Aval mi'alich ve'aviv, he goes back and forth. Afilu kosho, even if the knife is tiny. Afilu bizemo, even if it's a lance, a very small knife, kshera, then it's no problem. The Gemara will discuss what the problem with that is, that maybe be choshesh for types of, at the end of the knife, he has those curves that come out and those points that come out at the end of the knife. And many times on those small knives, There's lancets, they have the curves that come out, and that might catch on the Beit HaShchita. So I might have been choshesh for that. The Mishnah comes to teach us that it's okay to use a small knife, and we're not choshesh for those sharp edges at the end. Gemara wants to know, menahani mili. How do I know that when I cut through the head, I have to go back and forth? I mean, how do I know that mishicha, the back and forth motion? So Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Chetz Shachut Lishonam Mirma Diber. The same puzzle that we quoted before, Chetz Shachut. Over here, Rashi defines it differently. On the previous Amud, Rashi says Chetz Shachut means that you cut it in one place, not in multiple occasions. Over here, Rashi says Chetz Shachut is Machetz Olechet B'Mishicha. How does a arrow go? You pull it back on the bow. You pull back on the bow, and then you let it go forward. Meaning that the motion of the arrow is the same motion that we're expecting from Shechita, which is a back and forth motion, and that's how we know it. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel v'shachat, ein v'shachat elu mashach. The word shachat literally means to pull. V'cheinu omer, how do I know that? Because it says by the building of the Mikdash and the materials that they brought, it says zahav shachut. When we're talking about zahav shachut, we're talking about pounded out metal, metal that is flattened out, and then they pull the strings off of it. They pull the strings and the needles off of it, so that's mashach. So that's why it's called Zahav Shachut. V'omer, in addition to that, he brings the pasuk that we just saw from Shmuel, which is Chet Shachut, Ushonam, Mirma Diber. My V'omer, why do we need both kim? V'chitem as Zahav Shachut Shinitve Shachut. Who? That maybe it means over there, Zahav Shachut doesn't mean Shachut, but Zahav Shechut, like a string. They were making it into strings in order to twine the gold. So maybe that's what it means over there, not Shachut, but Shechut. And therefore, maybe it doesn't really mean what I think. So therefore, I have the second pasuk, which is Tashma, Chetz Shachut Lishonam. And therefore, that gives me the additional proof that when we're talking about Shachut, it means to pull back or to go back and forth. Rava have a badik le gira, the Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. It's an unusual case here. Rava was checking out Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa's arrow to make sure that it was sharp and that it was good enough to do Shechita with. While he was doing that, pulled it back on the bow and let go of it by accident. So at the moment that he pulled it back, he had let go of it, and it happened to shech the arrow, but hadid the parach. By accident, he shot the arrow off, and it went just through the neck of a bird. At that moment, it shechted the bird. He said, kosher shechita, I just checked the knife, it looks great. So he has a kosher shechita. The Gemara says, v'dil ma'avid chalado. How do you know that when it cut the neck of the bird, that the arrow did not insert itself into the neck of the bird and cut the simanim inside? How do you know that it from the outside in, so there's no problem of chalada? Says Chazinan Gidfe Demifarme. We saw that the feathers themselves that are around the neck were cut. So the feathers would only be cut if it came from the outside and cut in. If it had gone through the neck but not gone from the outside, the feathers would have remained intact. The fact that the feathers were cut shows that it was a perfect shot and that he had let go of the arrow and it cut from the outside through. It says, Vaha boy kisui adam. Doesn't he need to do kisui adam on a bird? Chitemus. What does he do? When the blood came down, he went ahead and the bird lands. Blood comes out. He buried the blood. So what's the problem with that? V'amar Rabbi Zeiro, amarav, hashochet tzarich shiten afar lemata, v'afar lemalo. Kisui adam requires both the placement of dirt below and the placement of dirt above. Shenemar v'chisau be'afar. Afar lo nemar. It doesn't say chisau afar, to place dirt on top of it. Ella bi'afar, inside the dirt. You must insert the blood. So that means you need two layers, a layer below and a layer above, meaning that you can't have hard earth underneath it. You must have cut up, chopped up earth, dirt below it, and then you put it on top of it. You need afar tichuach, it's called, both above and below. It's a question in the Gemara in Beitza, the Gabe Yom Tov. How do you have afar tichuach that's mukhan in order to do shechita on Yom Tov? So, because you need it to be ready. So what happened over here? Here he shot the arrow. And all of a sudden the blood comes down. How would he have something underneath it? He only has stuff to put on top, but he doesn't have below it. He says, no problem. The case over here is, Ella bafar melameit shoshochet tzarech shitein afar lamata vafar lamala. The mazmin lein afar dukula pitko. He had a whole bik'ah. There was a whole area, field laid out, valley laid out in front of him that had been plowed. It had been chopped up, plowed, and the earth or the dirt there was loose. And since it was loose, he looked out over there and he says, all of that's mukhan. Wherever it lands, that'll be the place for the kisui adam. So he did prepare the dirt because he looked at it and he had in mind that he would have covered anything on there. Then he takes the other dirt and places it on top and he's covered for kisui adam. Now, assuming the question about kisui adam is not whether it was a good shechita or not. The shechita was good. The question was then, how did he accomplish kisui adam? And that question is answered by the fact that it landed in a place that happened to have afar tichuach. So Rava was having a good day. I hope he bought a lottery ticket on that day. He was checking a knife, shot out by accident, cut the... did a shechita, perfect shechita, and he happened to have a field laying out below him that that had Afar Tichuach and he was able to accomplish Kisui Adam. A pretty amazing case that we have here that had a proper Shechita that Rava did without any problem of Chalada. All right, we'll stop over here.